Happy holidays. Happy New Year, everyone. Today, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling Chad and Lori Daybell segments of 2023 here on the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
The Hidden Killers podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
You may remember, several months ago, we went through the audio, and the text rather, and turned it into audio, of the Chad and Lori Daybell love text story of James and Elena. And it was pretty dramatic, and I think I cried at least a little bit during it. I think you might have shed a tear or two, didn't you, when we did that a long time ago?
Oh, I'm sure I did. I think I was crying like a baby.
It was very, very touching. But what we found here and what we have for you on this segment is a lot of the text messages because it went into the world of storytelling again in the trial of Lori Vallow this week. And it went far beyond that love story that we all saw and heard a long time ago. These are a little bit less contextualized. These are the pieces that we've heard in court. We do not yet have full transcripts of the actual documents that were presented in evidence. We may never, but if we do, trust me, we'll be doing some shows about those. But this is some of the interesting ones, and it's really going to paint a weird picture about Lori and Chad. What's being said, this is through email, this is through text, and this is, you can tell, leading up to the time where the children went missing and obviously were murdered. And I think a little bit might even be after that as well. So, myself?
Can I ask something?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these people who are texting and emailing, do they not realize that you can't always just delete everything? That's what I'm so blown away by, that you send text messages and emails knowing that that could be recovered.
Well, keep in mind, these people are expecting the world to end and Rexburg to be,
forgot about that.
You know, so when that happens, they're all in the right in their mind. They're just discussing these things that they have to be a part of that the little people, the rest of the world, doesn't. Because remember, they're thinking they are exalted beings. They believe that they are going to be a goddess and that Chad is a prophet, and they're having to just do their tasks according to the Lord or whatever, because it's all part of the plan, and Chad has been prophesizing about it. So keep that in mind as we go through some of these. I'm going to read some of the Chad ones. I'm going to have you, Carol, for context, read some of the Lori ones, okay?
Is there any direction you want to give me?
No, this is all improv. So wherever the spirit may take you.
I didn't know if there was some sort of accent I should be using or...
No, just, you know.
Higher voice, lower voice, I don't know.
I think, conceited, bitchy.
I go with the feeling of the text.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Let's go into this a little bit and let's hear some of these. Chad to Lori Vallow. These, again, from a context of being read in court just the other day. There is a plan being orchestrated for the children. I was shown last night how to fit it together, but it's been taken from my mind, of course. Can you imagine, like, if you started texting this shit to your significant other? Like, I started texting this to my fiance, like, there's a plan for the children. What would that do? In August of 2019, you are doing everything right, my love. The Lord told me she is right on track. He said to just keep resolving the telestial issues so you are unencumbered and fully free.
I laughed because these also include the fat fingers that people have when one is texting, but resolving the telestial, which I'm assuming is celestial issues. So you are unencumbered.
It says unencumbered, right? I actually read it correctly. And yeah, although I do believe Chad thinks the word telestial is a word in this context because it comes up a couple times. I think it came up in the actual readings of the love letters as well. I don't know. It's a thumb. I think it's more of a, I think this is a word.
Well, I mean, he is a prophet, so he might know words we don't.
Let's continue on to number four now here.
That's me, right?
Yeah.
It feels good. My son, JJ Vallo, was talking to the real Blake, getting close. I sensed he was barely attached to his body.
The context of that, I believe she believed, because everybody had different names that they were believing these people were possessed by demons and things, and they gave them weird names like Ned Schneider and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think Blake was one of them.
Maybe Chad, Blake is
the demon.
Maybe. So he's getting close to Blake and feeling good about that.
I guess so. Chad Daybell DeLore, you are so incredible in many ways. Your mission has barely begun. Very grandiose, the way Chad paints the picture of all this to Lori. There's a mission. We're part of something much larger. I'm writing this narrative story alongside our entire lives, changing names, but basically it's the same stuff, and making suggestions in a passive-aggressive way that you may carry some of them out, which I'm surprised was not used in court as somewhat of a defense.
Oh, true.
Because they threw in the towel, it seems, saying, we're done. And now it's going to be, you know, I think they missed an opportunity there. Although I think it would have been hard to keep that defense going as well, because you could say, so you weren't competent enough to understand that your children that were being murdered were in fact children and not zombies, but you were competent enough to book a flight to Kauai and
to be all about this relationship, yeah, and our mission. This is awesome. We're doing amazing things. We got to kill everybody in our way. But outside of that,
it's a very picking and choosing of competency.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We are
Lori. Yeah. Chat.
Okay.
As long as it end with you, it's all good.
As long as it end with you, it's all good.
I'm reading it verbatim.
Chad Daybell DeLore, do you want me to cause pain yet to those two threes you're riding with? Lori to Chad.
They will be a mistake to deal with, but I'll text you if they start acting up and we can zap them.
Now, they're talking about their children, by the way.
And he has some way of mentally zapping them, correct? Like he can just send something to them through the power of his mind and basically kind of correct their behaviors.
Yes, he's invented that into the whole mix too, that they can mentally do these things and mentally fight these demons off. And the threes that they're talking about is, Chad had a scale he created that talked about like light and dark people. So you were on that scale. If you were at one end, you were a dark spirit. If you were on the other, you're a light spirit. And three's a lower number. So there's some concern here. They want to get the demons out of the children that have those threes attached with them. They may zap them later. Chad Daybell DeLore says, sounds great. Yes, if they're going to act up, we'll at least give them a reason to scream. I love, cherish, and adore you. The wonderful memories keep coming back. You're mesmerizing. Raphael is one lucky guy. All in one coherent string of text.
No, we're going to give... That's that really sick thing that parents say. Like, if you want a reason to cry, I'll give you a reason to cry about. That's what my mom used to say to me. So it's like, we'll give them a reason to scream. I love, cherish, and adore you. The wonderful memories keep coming back.
Raphael is one lucky guy. Raphael is one of the characters, because Chad was still writing that book or writing that love letter. It didn't just end in those texts that we heard. He continued to write this narrative throughout their relationship on the backside of it all. And it gets really creepy because it seems that there's some control going on here through the narrative of this story that he's writing. I don't think he was powerful enough to coerce people just by talking to them, but I think he felt, or at least it was, he saw some traction there by doing it through writing. It's bizarre. Chad Daybell to Lori Vallo. I was instructed to focus my efforts on Hillary, the demon inside Ryan. Lori to Chad.
Find out the percentages for Ryan and her son, JJ Vallo.
Chad DeLore, she is at 0.13. I turned up the pain to 10 and placed a spiritual virus in her. He is at 99.99. Raphael visited him and told him to follow Amy into the light. I also assured him that James would love to take care of his mommy, which he will with all of his heart and soul. Nothing like talking about murdering your children and then also how you're going to take care of their mommy with all of your heart and soul. But it gets better. Lori to Chad.
We're both so tired of taking care of demons. We're weary. Please ask the Lord to take them. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Chad to Lori, the angels are angry. You are ignoring me. I'm not trying to manipulate you to respond. I understand you need your space, but the protection I built around your house is gone.
Oh, no, wait. Let me back up on that one. I'm not trying to manipulate you, but...
But...
Protection that I built around you and your house is gone.
This magical protection I invented around you. It's gone, and I'm not... But you're ignoring me, so you better, you know... Lori says to Chad, I love you. And then there's one more. Lori to Chad.
Check my daughter, Tylee Ryan. She is being super sweet and helpful, and she cleaned her room. It is switched totally, not her. See if she got switched.
So because the child is being good, Lori believes it's bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people like this, everything has to be bad. Chad to Lori, Ryan was switched. Please let me know when you can talk and I will explain it.
Of course, I'm not manipulating you in any way.
Not in any way.
And I can explain it. Lori says, check JJ. He is calm and watching movies.
Chad to Lori, I'm told she's lying about him being calm and watching movies.
Is JJ at zero yet? He was up all night talking nonsense.
In this bizarro world, he was probably completely competent and sane. And because it wasn't nonsense like this, they deemed it nonsense.
Chad, because the night before, he was watching movies.
Chad DeLore, yes, JJ is now at zero. He was talking to people who were both light and dark. Lori, to Alex Cox.
Oh, to Alex.
We're changing up the scene here now.
Yeah, so this is very different.
Yeah.
This one kind of gives me the heebie-jeebie goosebumpies. You need more practice at the shooting range, and I'm working on some zombies. We are trying to get to the bottom of what we need to do to eliminate them completely. I am sure you will be told also.
And Alex to Lori says, excellent. In that sort of tone, I'm guessing, too.
When he's doing that thing with his fingers.
Excellent. Yeah. Then we have Sydney Woodbury to Lori Vallow. This is 2 days after JJ Vallow was last seen. Is there still a plan for me to watch JJ Vallow today? And then Lori said to Sydney, my son's grandparents took him for a few weeks and I will be doing some traveling in Hawaii. So that thing right there, you need more practice at the shooting range and I'm working on some zombies. I think it's very clear there. I'm guessing Alex was involved. If Lori was not necessarily the one or Chad wasn't the one, I think Alex probably killed them for Lori. And either he then killed himself at the end of all this, or he was offed in some way, shape or form. It's very interesting. The amount of calls that were logged the day that Alex died, between Lori, Chad, Zulema, who was Alex's new wife at that moment in time, who seemed to be buying all of this shit. And I do wonder a bit about her involvement as far as being aware of these things going on, how deep she got into it, and did she play a part in these murders? And I am actually wondering, should she be charged? Is there enough evidence to take a closer look at her? Because it I don't know. I know she's a victim of it to a certain extent, but I do definitely question how closely she was involved that she didn't know more than she's talking about until now.
I am here to tell you, I love my siblings, but there is no way. Like, I just don't even get how, even like after Charles Vallow was killed, like watching him talk about it as he's sitting on the curb at the police camp, he's just so matter of fact. Somebody just died.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine the emotions that would be going through me. And I killed him. Like, you know, he's dead. I just killed somebody. And he's just like, so matter of fact. Like, yeah, you know, he came at me with self-defense. I have this wound in the back of my head.
Yeah, I do what I got to do. I don't know if it's because there's so much death surrounding all of these people that it just becomes white noise and just another thing. Or if they all have this, you know, this mental defect that makes them, or a lot of them, sociopaths.
But I also don't even get, under the guise of religion, like, you're the prophet. Like, shouldn't you be about helping people and caring for people and making people better? JJ's calmly watching movies, and that's alarming to them.
Yeah.
So obviously he needs something wrong with him.
He needs to be removed because he's got the demons in him.
So what did you do? Because he's calmly watching television.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. I just don't even get how you can buy into any of this.
There's nothing those kids could have done. I mean, that would have stopped this from happening. I don't believe. I think they would have found them to be demons doing good, doing bad, being kids, doing anything. They would have been looked at as demons because ultimately Lori and Chad didn't want to be parents. They didn't want them around. So they,
yeah, with them gone, they get to be on a beach in Hawaii.
So in the end, what happened is Chad wrote these stories in the background, and then Lori and him talked about him as if they were real in some way, shapes, or forms, or if there are some sort of prophecies. And he convinced her that they were exalted beings and that everything they're doing is right. And it was the right thing to kill her children. Now, I believe she knew that they were her children when she was killing them as well, or that they were being killed. But I do think she thought that they were zombies to a certain extent. I don't know how you would not know that it's wrong to do something like that. But I think she's brainwashed. I think she was very susceptible to being brainwashed. And I think she's evil, too. I mean, I think it was a perfect storm of all these things together. Without being brainwashed, I think she was evil. I think she's brainwashed and evil now. Just seeing the string of death that has surrounded her her entire life. I'd also love to know more about her sister that died.
And Chad's trial will be very interesting.
I wonder how open and shut it will be. Just considering how open and shut this one was, where the defense didn't even want to do anything. And we pretty much laid out, I think, most of the evidence that's going to come out in Chad's. I'm sure there'll be a handful of some new things, but take this, just the evidence in Lori's and replay that, and I think you're going to get a guilty verdict that way. I have no idea. I mean, the speculation the whole time was, how are they going to defend Lori? They're not. It's the answer. They're just...
The poor lawyers are like, they got their hands up in there. What do we even say?
I mean, they defended her on cross to all the things that were brought up, but I think it might have actually been a wise move because anybody they would bring in as a witness would be torn apart. If you put Lori on the stand, she's going to be torn apart. I think the best thing that they can hope for is that they're going to have one juror on that panel that's going to somehow understand this religious way of thinking. And I shouldn't even say religious because it's not. It's propaganda. Chad was a minister of propaganda that was idly trying to look like religion. But if you can get one person to kind of go, I kind of see it that way. I think she's sick. I think she's not guilty. You can hang that jury. I think that may be her only hope right now is that it gets hung and that another trial takes place. Although I don't know, there's never going to be evidence to exonerate this woman. That's why we saw weeks and weeks and weeks of wave after wave of horrible things that she's done that really can't be refuted. So I don't know. It's a dark one. There you go. A little more context. And I'm just hoping that maybe through a Freedom of Information Act, I could get the full string of these, because I know there's a lot. And that in itself, I think, would be an interesting read, if not.
Oh, and I read somewhere how many text messages there were, and it was
insane. Lot. It would be a lot. It would be a lot. We'd have to like make a podcast channel just for that, and it would take like years to get through it. But hey, that's something I probably would do.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Brewski.
Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. You can get an ad-free experience through Apple Podcasts as well. Tony Brewski, stay with us.